Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, and across the country on CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco in for Boomer this week. Good Thursday morning, and so much sports news locally and across the country yesterday, but some not so great news for the Yankees on the field and off the field, as a bad loss to the Rays with Cess on the mound and absolutely no offense. Well, that was the second part of the bad news. The first part of the bad news was more details on Aaron Judge and his timeline. We heard it was going to take a little bit longer. I think yesterday would have been 3 weeks on the dot for him to come back, which was the original timetable. And Brian Cashman goes on with Mike yesterday and says, yeah, we screwed this one up. It's going to take longer. And when he comes back, we're expecting some time for him to get back to being Aaron Judge and knock the rust off. And he actually admitted that he's thought about him missing the rest of the season. He said he wouldn't, but it crossed his mind. So that was not a good way to open up that interview if you were a Yankee fan listening to Mike and Cashman. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Greg, what is up? Yeah, no, it's not great. And, you know, it's very Metsian because they give you a timetable that I think most of us thought at the time seemed a little aggressive, and it is. And the idea that Aaron Boone says, no, everything's good, just taking a tick longer. Well, if it's taking a tick longer, the guy can't throw.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing. And the other thing that I found weird is he says he's taken swings underwater yesterday, but he can't throw a baseball. How does that make any sense?
I don't know. You're right. You know, when you say it's Metsy, and it's exactly what it is. I know Brian Cashman said he tries to under-promise and over-deliver with the injuries, but I'm totally confused as to where he is and what they expect from him the rest of the year. I mean, maybe yesterday he was trying to temper expectations to a point where he had the pendulum swung too far, because he basically said it's going to take a long time for him to come back once he gets back. I mean, he's not healthy. It doesn't seem like he's close to being healthy. And then when he comes back, we don't know what type of player he's going to be. I mean, that I never thought there would be a point in this season where I didn't think Aaron Judge was going to come back and contribute and be Aaron Judge. But yesterday, Brian Cashman planted that seed in my head. I think we'll see him again. But, I mean, the way he was talking about how long it's going to take him to knock the rust off him, I mean, what Aaron Judge are we going to see again in 2018?
Well, that's it. And then the one thing, too, that you heard, I know Boomer is always big on this, and he hates when he hears this, he had a cortisone shot.
Yeah.
Basically to mask the pain. I mean, so
which is weird in a rehab, is it not?
I think very weird. It tells me that they're trying to get him on the field as soon as they can in the safest way, but at the same time, if it's not fixed, you know, Aaron Judge is a young kid. He's not 30 years old. The idea that you want to rush him back, and they're not rushing him back. I'm not saying that. That's to your point why it's weird that you would have a cortisone shot in a rehab stint or a, as he's trying to work his way back. If he can't throw and all he can do is bucket throws and run the bases right now, he's nowhere near coming back for this team.
Yeah, and you heard about the Brian Cashman take on Aaron Judge's pain threshold, which was something along the lines of, the guy's as tough as nails. That's why we put the three-week timetable on him. Generally, he comes right back. Well, this seems, if all that stuff is true, and then all the stuff that we heard about Aaron Judge in this rehab is true, and he's dealing with all this pain, he's getting a cortisone shot during the rehab, then, you know, this injury is obviously a lot more severe than anybody ever thought. So, I mean, coupled with a loss last night to Tampa again, and it doesn't happen a lot at Yankee Stadium, but,
no.
I mean, you see Cessa, he's awful. I just heard CeeLo at the end of the warm-up show. He's absolutely right. When you see Cessa and Sonny Gray in the same game, I mean, it's just nauseating. So those two things yesterday, I mean, and I know that when you think about this season and its totality and the freakouts that you have and the roller coasters and the ups and downs, and you say, all right, this little moment in time now could be changed with the Yankees winning four straight, five straight in a row. But it's not really about that. I mean, it's about the big picture. It's about the postseason. It's about this team being 100% healthy heading into a postseason, into an American League that's very good at the top.
and not being the Yankees. And if Severino is going to pitch the way he has in his last 7 to 10 starts, if Aaron Judge isn't going to be, I mean, that is the core of this team, those two guys at the top. If those guys aren't going to be those guys, then what do you have heading into October?
Well, you still have good players, and you still have a good lineup. I mean, you still have Giancarlo Stanton. You still have Didi Gregorius. Greg Bird, we don't know who he is. You still have Aaron Hicks. Miguel Andujar is going to be the rookie of the year. It's not like they don't have a good lineup. It's not the lineup that we've seen. What they have become is very consistently inconsistent when you look at what they've done in the last 2 weeks. They're a 500 team. You've got the four-game sweep at the hands of the Red Sox, which was part of a five-game losing streak. They come back. They win four games in a row. You kind of got the stink off, and now, you know, the last however many games, they're 3-3 in their last six. It's just what they are right now. They're inconsistent, and it starts with, you know, the hitting's one thing, and last night was a bad night because you even know who any of these guys are on the race that are throwing, aside from Chaz Rowe.
I know.
I mean, you know, Faria, they're telling stories of him, how he travels with a rubber duck for good luck. I don't know if you caught that little blip. I'm like,
I know.
And John Flaherty was literally speechless. Like, am I supposed to respond to this? And it was a true story. So you're losing to a team last night in the Rays who have basically sold everybody off for the most part, except for Kevin Kiermaier, who makes a great play in center field in that fourth inning. Nah. You know, they should be able to still handle. You're not going to win every game, but you should still be able to go out and win the series today. But it's got to get back to the pitching. The pitching has to be better, and I don't know that it will be right now.
Yeah, and that Rays team is one of my favorite teams in the last, I don't know how many years that I don't root for, just because they're so damn resilient.
Scrappy.
I mean, the fact that they could hover around 500 this year, when basically the front office has done everything but, I mean, how many guys have they gotten rid of from the offseason to the trade deadline?
Ridiculous.
I mean, every guy that you knew on that team is gone. And the way that they, of course, Kevin Cash, and the way he handles the rotation, I mean, they care. They generally care about winning every single game, despite the fact that they're in the situation that they're in a division where you got two behemoths in it. And you've got no shot in the American League, even when you hover around 500 in the National League, you're five games out of a wild card. You hover around 500 in the American League, see you. Your season's over. Right, you're in sellers at the deadline.
And they're two games over.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible what they've done. So, I mean, I give them so much credit, but still, the Yankees at home shouldn't be losing to them, and they did last night. But this is what's going to happen when you have injuries in the starting rotation. You got to start dipping into guys like Sessa and Chance Adams, I saw the one time, and Loaisiga when he was healthy. I mean, this is what's going to happen from time to time when you got a long season and you throw out guys that you don't necessarily want on the mound.
Injuries suck, and nobody knows that more than the Met fan. The Yankee fans are dealing with it right now. That said, they're still in fine position. They're still going to be playing October baseball. They will still be in the playoffs. They just have to figure a way to get themselves right. It starts with Severino. You got to get CC back. And I don't think CC's really injured. I think this was more of the break and the rest. So he'll be back sooner rather than later. But the pitching is where it starts. It's been something we talked about all year long. They went out. They made moves for Lance Lynn. They got J Happ. Hell, we were reading articles yesterday. J Happ could be, you know, the wild card starter. I mean, that's how things change so quickly. And I don't know that that'll be the case. But you know what? If he goes 6-0, 7-0 down the stretch, maybe he is your wild card starter. Who knows? But it's all pitching. It really is. And then the offense last night was bad. Agreed. The offense will be fine, though.
Yeah, I think that it will. It's just that you have to project into the times of the season and in the postseason if this iteration of the Yankees is going to be able to compete. So, I mean, I'm not a guy who's going to completely go over the edge at this point on August 16th.
Can't.
But, I mean, the Brian Cashman interview, and he said that he admitted that he's wired negatively, and that's something that I think we both can understand, because we've lived that through most of our lives, that there's sometimes you think about, you know, you're cynical, you think about the worst case scenario, whatever it is. I mean, it doesn't mean that all the time you're walking around with a black cloud around your head, but, I mean, that's the way he thinks. So, I mean, maybe that was just him yesterday coming across that way, but after listening to that interview, I really came out of it going, the general manager's not feeling great about the team right now.
You're a Yankee fan, it's concerning. There's nothing else to say. If Aaron Judge is still out 2-3 weeks from now, I mean, it's a major problem for an injury that they really told us was not that big a deal. When you say 3 weeks, you really don't think much of it. Turns out to be 5-6 weeks. That's a large chunk of the end of your summer. A big chunk of it.
Right, right. It is. And, you know, I don't know, maybe maybe the assumption that Aaron Judge, once he comes back, is going to take, it's going to take a long time for him to find himself. Maybe that assumption is false. I mean, we don't know. I mean, the guy has been exceeding expectations for his entire career. He's blowing everybody away with how great of a player he is, an MVP candidate type of player. I mean, maybe Brian Cashman isn't right about that. That's just something that he says, hey, you know, it's not like you can insert a guy like Aaron Judge after a long stretch like this where he has a broken bone or a chip fracture, whatever the hell, in his hand, in his wrist, and he's going to come right back and hit a million home runs. Maybe that's just him tempering expectations, but and he could. I mean, he could come back and be great right away because he's Aaron Judge. He's one of the best players in baseball. So it's not like Brian Cashman predicting that necessarily means that it's going to be 100% true.
You also got to remember, too, it's his presence. I mean, the presence in the lineup, whether he is struggling or he's not struggling, you see him in the lineup, you know, whether Hicks is behind them, Stanton's behind, whoever it could be, if he's batting second and you got the third place hitter, Didi, it could be. I mean, the way they change the lineups almost daily, it seems like that presence is still a big factor in the lineup, whether he's at 100% or 90% or 80%. And whether he's the 60 home run guy or he's a guy who's struggling to find it, it's still, you see that name in the lineup and you're like, ooh.
Right,
it's still Aaron Judge and Stanton and Gregorius and Hicks, and it's still something to deal with.
And we got some more preseason football tonight as Sam Darnold is still scheduled to start. I can't imagine that that's going to change anytime soon. That's where we opened up yesterday's show when you had Josh Norman talk so glowingly about Sam Darnold. Now we're going to see him in the second preseason game starting against this Redskins defense, and we'll get a good look at him. But this is... And this is, we talked about the first preseason game being the most anticipated one that the Jet fan had in a long time. The fact that he's going to start now, he's going to be with the starters, and we saw him once. I mean, I think this one now even exceeds that. And I said before that, you know, it's of course it's silly to make any sort of presumptions about a player or try to project a Hall of Fame career based on a preseason game, and no one's trying to do that. But if this guy is going to start and your entire franchise is going to change and this new era of Jet football is going to happen in week one, he's got to play great tonight. So, I mean, you really are going to know how, I believe, how the 2018 season is going to start at quarterback. If he comes out and impresses tonight, he's going to start week one. I'm sorry. He's just, that's what's going to happen. And if he struggles and maybe takes a step back, it's going to take him a little bit longer. If he comes out tonight and he slings it around and he is great, I'm telling you, he's going to start week one.
Well, he might. And, you know, it's interesting how all these games have different feels to them. In the first preseason game, it's kind of like, hey, football's back, you got to watch, and you kind of get bored with it in the second half, unless you have a kid who's playing that you're interested in. The second one starts to get more of a real feel towards it because the starters will play a little bit more. You're getting two out of four, and you know the fourth one, they're not playing. And then the third one is the full-out first half you have to watch. I agree with you. I don't think he's got to play lights out tonight. I think he can't take a step back. If he stays to where he was, he plays to the ability and the level he played in that first game, and he shows progression that he can handle the starters on Washington, and, you know, if what's his name, Josh Norman was right, and he goes out and, you know, plays the way he thinks he can, then all of a sudden it very quickly starts to turn into Sam Darnold's team faster than maybe we thought. Just don't take a step back.
Yeah.
Show progression, and I think the Jets and the Jet fan will be thrilled after tonight.
And the fact that he's starting this game means that the Jets are serious about him starting week one.
For sure.
Because if their plan was like the Browns' plan, where they have not wavered, and that Tyrod Taylor is going to be their starting quarterback to open the season and be the starting quarterback a majority of the season, then we would not see him start this game. I mean, that wouldn't be happening. And I really think that the Jets, this regime, from top to bottom, I'm talking everybody in this organization, I think they desperately want this new era to start now with Sam Darnold, and they believe that he can do it, or they would never throw him out there to start and work with the starters in a game like this. I mean, they want it to start sooner than later, and I think that's the right move. And as we've talked about yesterday, it's a different era now with these quarterbacks. I mean, they can step right in and play. Guys are, even a guy like Sam Darnold hasn't been playing quarterback his entire life. I mean, he's just that mature and much more mature than we saw quarterbacks 20 years ago coming into the league. It's not that much of a tall order for a guy if his head's in the right place, and it seems like this kid's is.
He'll need it. And by the way, it's Tyrod.
Well,
it's not Tyrod.
But then his dad came out and said Tyrod.
Did
you
he really?
That?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so they interviewed his dad out in Cleveland. He goes, what do you call him? He goes, Tyrod. I don't know what the hell's going on.
So the family doesn't know his name either.
I'm going to call him Tyrod.
You know, it's funny because when I was doing Columbia for all those years, we had a player, four-year player, I forget his name, but I did a pregame, a preseason interview with him, and specifically asked him how to pronounce his name. And I would swear he gave me the pronunciation, and I went with it. It was all good. And for 4 years, that's what I called him. And one of the assistants in the office, like mid-season of his senior year, she goes, I got a bone to pick with you. I'm like, what's the matter? She goes, you've been calling him wrong for 4 years. I'm like, that's what he told me his name was. He's too nice. He said that because it's easier to pronounce. So maybe the dad just couldn't pronounce or was not comfortable with Tyrod, and he calls him Ty. I don't know.
And Tyrod doesn't. Though. I mean, I'm sorry, but Tyrod sounds ridiculous.
Have we heard from him yet?
I mean, he's the one who said Tyrod.
I thought it was the kid that said that.
Well, the kid said that, and then people were at. He was asked about it. So the fourth-string quarterback said it on Hard Knocks, which I didn't get a chance to watch yesterday because it was chaos in my house, which I'll tell you about later. Absolute chaos. Sawdust and people and ladders.
Oh,
and,
the contractor.
Oh, my God.
And did you take photos with him?
No, I did not take photos
with
him.
Was he impressed when you got home because your wife had the TV on and he watched you?
No, we fought on the phone later in the day. I mean, it was just a disaster. And then the air conditioning stopped working. And
that's good. It was only 91 yesterday.
I mean, my God.
Look at it this way, though. Electric bill go down.
I don't want to admit that, but it crossed my mind.
Of course it did.
Especially after the $425 one last month. Uh-huh. So I didn't watch Hard Knocks. But the way it started was the fourth-string quarterback, when he was given the tour of the IV, said, Tyrod sleeps here. The media runs to Tyrod, says, how do you pronounce your name? He goes, well, actually, it's Tyrod, but whatever. It's fine if you call me Tyrod. And then his dad comes out and says, I call him Tyrod.
Didn't know when his son changed his own name. It's so stupid.
And ironically enough, after all this, one of the quarterbacks that Jalen Ramsey didn't rip was Tyrod Taylor. He said he's okay.
And so I went and I watched Doug Marrone yesterday.
Yeah.
I figured that would be something. He'd have some comment. And he nothing. I mean, they asked him about it like 5 minutes into. So they did a joint practice with the Vikings, I believe. And I would say 4 or 5 minutes into his press conference, a reporter's like, you know, familiar with Jalen Ramsey's interview with GQ and the comments he made. He goes, yeah, so-and-so just alerted me to it, showed me some of the clips. You have any opinion on it? No, not really. You know, when I played for like 5 minutes, I respected everybody, but no, to the Vikings. And it was like, that was it.
Yeah.
There was no follow. Now, Coughlin has got to just be like rolling around in his office kicking and screaming.
Yeah, he's wiping his butt with that article right now.
Oh, my God. Now, do you suspend him further?
No, I don't. I mean, if you read the whole thing, he's actually he's complimentary to more people than he rips.
Is that true?
Yeah, I really believe so. I could count him, but he's complimentary to more people, I think, than he rips.
So then we're basically grabbing the headline stuff
as
normal.
I read the whole thing. I mean, he likes Aaron Rodgers, obviously, Tom Brady, Kirk Cousins, his own quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, Lamar Jackson. I can go on. There was more.
So the ones that he called, because he called, what's his name, trash from the Bills, yeah, like Josh Allen?
But I agree with.
Okay, you agree. Fair enough. So, Eli Manning, he says it's really not that good. It's Beckham that makes him good at this point.
Yeah, he said that, yeah. He said there was somebody else that he said it wasn't really that. Ben Roethlisberger, he said he didn't think was that good. But I mean, he's basically scrolling through his phone, goes, this guy's pretty good, he's okay, this guy I don't think's good. But the ones like he's trash.
That's a bit strong.
Right. But I mean, for me, you know, it's just a guy being him. Like, everybody's labeling him with all these, he's an idiot, he's a buffoon.
He's mouthy.
He's a trash. Like, he's just him. This is what this guy is. Like, and he doesn't care. And, by the way, he's great. Like, he's great on the field. So, I mean, I really didn't. Of all the stuff we see in the NFL, like stomach-turning stuff, I mean, I feel like there was more of an outrage yesterday with Jalen Ramsey and what he had to say about quarterbacks in the league than there was about Jameis Winston's whole story. That seemed like that came and went.
Might be right.
But yesterday, Jalen Ramsey calling Josh Allen trash was like, oh, my God.
See, that wasn't a word. Did it really take off? I mean, I saw some stories. I didn't really notice that it was that big of a deal.
I mean, it seemed like before the Cashman interview for me, I thought that was the thing that we were going to open up the show with because so many people were talking about it. Quite frankly, that's what it seemed like, because blew up in a national story, because he addressed everybody across the country. I mean, it was like every single team.
Right.
So that's why. But I mean, I don't know. I like being entertained by guys, and he's a guy that's fascinating to me and entertaining. And like this idea that now people are going to want to go out and beat him worse. Like, if I mean,
yeah,
like,
that stuff doesn't work.
I know. Like, honestly,
you can want to. You still have to do it whether you want to or not.
I mean, are there really quarterbacks in the league that don't try hard unless someone disrespects them? I mean, I don't want that guy to be my quarterback. Like, you know, I wasn't going to put in maximum effort this week, but because this guy thinks I suck, well, I'm really going to show him. What? This
Giants
is the NFL.
Jaguars to open the season.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
That's kind of fun.
And Eli, when he was approached with that comment with it's really Odell Beckham that makes him look good, he said, he just said, responded, who? You know, with the, who, get it? I don't know who you are.
With the sheepish grin.
Right. Who are we talking about? Yep, 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 yep.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.